Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today's episode, we will be talking with Craig Walker, who is known as the guru of 3D printing. And he will show us how 3D printing will literally revolutionize almost every industry on the planet. He gives us detailed examples of how it will affect different industries. And we also discuss the fact that 3D printing is behind in the United States. We're behind China, we're behind Norway, and many other countries around the world. And we talk about what the industry is doing in the United States to change that problem that we have. But before we do that, I talk with Michael J. Moon, who is an entrepreneur and Silicon Valley thought leader. He gives his reaction to the Newsweek article, What Silicon Valley Thinks of Women. It's a scathing review of the sexism that's going on in Silicon Valley. And he gives a pretty straightforward, honest answer in what he believes is going on in Silicon Valley and gives some advice. I don't know if you want advice from him or not, but it's pretty blatant, straightforward advice on what he thinks people should do in general to be in healthy environments. And I think it's pretty interesting. So here's Michael J. Moon and his reaction to the Newsweek article. What do you see as the culture there?
Well, So I was going to respond to you in kind of three parts that I want to, in my response to you. First of all, it has to do with generalizations. And the basic law of tautology here is that generalizations are generally true. And stereotypes are generalizations. So it's going to be generally true. Now we're just arguing about the granularity cases. Okay. So kind of outside looking in, yeah, I think that's probably a true and factual characterization. But once you're in the Silicon Valley environment, there's a completely different ethos. There's a completely different ethos to the Valley. And it really has to do more with that. I am accountable for not only myself, but I am accountable for where I put myself. And if I put myself in an environment that is not kind to who I am, does not speak to who I am, shame on me.
But how do you?
That's my responsibility. So I'm just saying inside the Valley.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not saying outside. I'm just saying, so part of the ethos is I'm accountable for me. I make my choices. And I am accountable for not only my choices, but the environment in which I put myself. So if I'm in a sucky kind of environment, then that's on me. So it's up to me to change that. That's the second point. The third point is that while Silicon Valley is a physical place, it's also a collection of tribes. So the further south you go to Sunnyvale, Mountain View, that's really hardware, grounded by semiconductor and computer companies, Intel, Apple, Hewlett Packard, etc. Seagate, Maxtor, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so one of the things about hardware is, hardware is hard. It's uncompromising. And there's a certain grit it takes to do hardware.
Okay.
And hardware is not a solo sport, but it's a team sport. And team sports are kind of rugged, especially in those hardware teams. So it tends to be impervious to somebody who will not. So it's kind of like walking onto the football. It's like walking onto the football and wanting to walking off the street and play for the New England Patriots or the Seattle. Their level of play is such that, God, you're just going to get ground up and spit out, right?
Okay, sure.
All right. I'm not defending it. I'm simply saying that the reality of that particular industry and business is harsh and unforgiving. And if I was a woman, I would probably not want to go there. It's not fun. It's ugly. It's not particularly accommodative of, it doesn't really take advantage of the things that I'm good at. Now, you go north 30 miles into San Francisco and Marin County and Oakland, Berkeley area, and it's a completely different world.
And they're more open there?
Yeah. So just put this in the context. I'm calling you. So we're having this session in Oakland, California. So first of all, the Bay Area is one of the most liberal progressive areas in all of the United States. Berkeley in Oakland is probably one of the most progressive areas in the most progressive area in all the United States. So what I consider conservative here, most people would be calling flaming liberal elsewhere, right?
So now would you say that this was an unfair characterization of the Valley then, coming from Newsweek?
Well, whether you agree with him or not, it is a pretty honest review and critique of what's going on in Silicon Valley. And I have to tell you, my opinion, I think if these companies are too dumb to utilize half the resources and to treat them with respect, then they'll get what they deserve in the long run, which is not good. I mean, if a company, any entrepreneur or business leader that's worth the money they're getting paid at all, they don't care what gender you are. They don't care what color you are. You can be red, green, purple, blue. You can be male, female, and it. Nobody cares as long as you get the job done and you're good at what you do. And anybody that doesn't think that way is, frankly, just, I think they're an idiot, being honest. But they're not good business people. So that's where it's at with that. And we will continue the conversation about this next week. But the main part of the interview next week will be about his company that he started called StartupReady.net. And he talks about the fact that the economy has lost 20 million jobs over the last couple decades from technology innovations and automation, and that professionals really need to relook at how they approach work and how they do things. And his company helps professionals succeed in this new emerging economy. Okay, so now we're going to move on to our interview with Craig Walker and the guru of 3D printing. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
I am glad I finally got hold of the guru from what I've been hearing of 3D printing. I've been wanting to get somebody very good on the show to be able to explain to people what's really going on in this industry. My belief is that 3D printing is really going to revolutionize, and it's a game changer. It's going to change the way business is done in a lot of industries. But before we get into that, will you tell me a little bit about what your involvement with the industry is, and why did you earn this title, Guru of North America?
Well, you know, I didn't put that moniker on me, but I have been, for some reason, called the guru of 3D printing, excuse me, and or the, I just heard a king of 3D printing in the Northwest. And, you know, I think it's because of my passion and my involvement at the level that I'm at right now. I currently hold the position of mayor of 3D Hubs in the Seattle market. 3dhubs.com is a very important website for those in the 3D printing industry. 3D Hubs is what it sounds like. It's hubs of 3D printers and people that own 3D printers and a group of what we call makers. I live up here in the land of Boeing. There are more engineers per square mile here than I think there are anywhere in the world because of our aerospace development. We also have Microsoft and others around here, but there are so many engineers doing prototyping, and not everybody has a 3D printer. Well, 3D Hubs allows the makers out there, or the developers, the machinists, the engineers, to have prototyping done on 3D printers at a fraction of the cost that it would cost them to have injection molds done and fill the skies with smoke over Beijing.
So that's that's the opportunity to get something printed if you don't own a printer?
That is absolutely correct.
So that would be a great resource for just anybody in general.
That is correct. 3dhubs.com, you can go there and Search for local printers and you'll be surprised at the amount of local 3D printers there are in your area. It's kind of like the Kinko's idea. I need business cards made. I'll go to Kinko's, bring my file there, and have them print my business cards. Well, if you have a prototype that you need done, you go to 3D Hubs. 3D Hubs will give you a list of those 3D printers in your area, what materials they can print from, the resolutions they can print from, get you a quote, and you can have your prototype done in minutes rather than days or weeks at a fraction of the cost that it would be to actually have something either hand-molded or an injection mold made with much less waste and much less smoke in the sky.
Well, I think it's that would be a good – for someone who's even thinking about getting a 3D printer or has isn't quite sure, it'd be really good to go and test it out in that kind of way and then – okay, yeah, we're using it enough now, we can get our own, or we only use it, you know, once a month or something. We really should be just outsourcing this.
Well, yeah, but 3D Hubs also gives you the opportunity to start a turnkey business. If you were to go out and purchase an inexpensive, and when I say inexpensive, 3D printers are no longer $25,000 and up. There are 3D printers out there for as low as $900, $800, even a little bit lower.
Oh, wow.
And into that $2,000 and $3,000 range where you can get actually a professional grade or what I would call a prosumer 3D printer. List that printer on a 3D Hubs, and all of a sudden you're doing prototyping for engineers in your area to help subsidize the cost of that 3D printer. So it's quite an interesting website, but that's just one facet of what I'm involved in. I also sit on the board of a group called 3D Printing Community, or 3DC. We have a website, 3DC.org, and we have a monthly educational series, what we call a mini 3D printing conference at the University of Washington Startup Hall here in Seattle. And we have dynamic guests. Last month we had Mike Tutongi, and we'll get into him a little bit later in the interview. He has created a highly conductive 3D printing filament, allows us to print circuits and circuit boards.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. We have presidents and CEOs of 3D printing companies who make 3D printers in both the consumer and prosumer levels. We have instructors, people from MakerBot, Stratasys, 3D Systems, people who really are interested in spreading education. You know, we have a lot of the kids that are in the high schools that are too bored to go to class, and I see them in the parking lots of their high schools smoking cigarettes and hanging out. And when they see things like 3D printing going on, their jaws drop and they see, oh my God, I can do this. And it gives them hope for not sitting at a desk writing code, but actually being able to have the opportunity to get into 3D and CAD design and create.
Be more creative.
And then that opportunity of instant gratification, because that item that they created is a solid object in front of them 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours later, is mind-boggling, and it really creates interest in our young people. Again, I said I'm here in the land of Boeing. Well, all these kids around here in high school, around the Everett School District and the Lake Stevens School District, those are the school districts that surround Boeing and Everett. All their parents are engineers, and the prototyping that they have been doing are old school. It's injection molding, and it takes hours and days and weeks and months to get those prototypes back. And then it's off by 3 or 4 millimeters, and they have to do it all over again, and it's another days or weeks or months and very costly. And now they can open up SolidWorks or AutoCAD, and they can create their design within their 3D rendering programs, file print, and if it's off by a couple of millimeters, they can do their adjustment, another $2 worth of filament, and they have their second prototype. And that is what I would consider world-changing as far as manufacturing goes.
So are we heading towards Star Trek? I mean, where, you know, what do they have that thing that, they program in and the thing just appears? I think it was with food, where they could just...
We are already there. Believe it or not, the most printed, 3D printed item in the world right now, can you guess?
No, what is it?
Chocolate.
Is it really?
It is chocolate. 3D printers have been in the hands of chefs for quite some time, and some of those fancy chocolates that you see out there, even in the boxes, are 3D printed. Hershey just purchased, I believe from 3D Systems, a very large chocolate printer that's printing out really cool desserts. And I believe it's in Hershey. I know it's been in Hershey, Pennsylvania, but it has been traveling the country. And we're already there.
But do you have to have the chocolate pre-made and put in there, or does it start with the base ingredients and then make the chocolate and print it?
Well,
there's a difference.
I believe the chocolate printer is printing from pellets, or like what you'd see, little morsels of chocolate. It melts it in the extruder and then is extruded in very, very thin layers. The way a 3D printer works is it prints in layers, the layers as thin as 10 microns, very, very thin, and that's where you get that real high detail. It pushes the chocolate or the item. You know, we have 3D printers that print in 20, 22 different types of polymers. Well, anything that's meltable is printable. And as they create those different designs, they harden and create an edible substance.
It can be really creative, and it's a piece of chocolate. What can a printer print with multiple types of materials?
So you could have,
just like with colors, you could have five different materials coming through, and how about colors too? Does it have the ability to dye the materials different colors, or is that not there yet?
No, we are absolutely there. Most of the printers that I market are what are called dual extruder printers, and then the filament that I recommend is, it's called Max filament, M-A-double-X. It's probably one of the hottest of the 3D printed filaments in the world right now, because it doesn't just work on one particular machine. It's been made for many, many different machines, and there are three different parts of Max filaments. There are the Max Economy, which comes in about 20 different colors. Then there's the Max Professional, another 20 different colors. And these are different PLA or ABS, different polymers. And then we have what we call the Max Exotics. And they have additives in them, such as bronze. We actually have a bronze additive, PLA filament that oxidizes. So you can actually print, let's say, a trophy.
And oh,
it
how
actually,
cool is that?
You can actually use
and
a brass polish
like
and polish it up. Looks like, feels like it is. There's brass additives or bronze additives within the filament.
So if an artist wants to make a cool sculpture out of bronze and then add in some other, do you have anything that looks like stone, you know, like the quartz?
Absolutely. We have a sandstone. We have a brick to give texture to our designs. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, Max Electric, which is a highly conductive filament, where and people can go on my websites later and see pictures and videos of some of these things. The Max Electric comes from a gentleman by the name of Mike Tutangi, who happens to be at a conference right now in Mumbai, India, with MIT. MIT has a 3D printing seminar going on in India right now, and he brought some of his highly conductive filament, as well as a magnetic filament. And you know what that means. If we can print magnetic filaments, we're getting away from the magnetic tape and magnetic glues.
Oh, yeah.
But we can actually combine magnetic filament into our prints.
Into the material.
Well,
into the actual piece.
what does a magnetic material allow us to do? Store data. So we're getting to the point where we can actually start printing.
So a piece of art could have the data. The piece of art could be a computer.
Absolutely. We can start printing circuit boards. We can start printing
electronics. But you could print a circuit board directly into the work. It doesn't have to be a separate piece.
We no longer will be needing Arduino boards to create a circuit, to create something that lights up. We can print that right within our file and have working electronics. We'll have to add, of course, the battery and the bulb or whatever it is that is running. But with the ability to start printing magnetics and highly conductive filaments, we're well on our way to being able to actually print electronics, and it's going to revolutionize. We are in a personal manufacturing revolution right now.
And this could be the information. There was the Renaissance, and then what's after the Renaissance? The Industrial Age, and then the Information Age. This is the next age.
It is, without a doubt. We are in a personal manufacturing age. You can call it an age or give it any moniker you want. I can tell you that it is world-changing, life-changing. The medical industry is going bonkers on this stuff.
Well, are they printing organs? Are they trying to figure out how to print organs?
There's actually a gentleman right now who's in the process of printing a heart, and they're getting ready to do some testing on that. They are printing human cells right now. And with the leaps and bounds that are taking place in 3D printing today, we are not far off from being able to print a kidney or a liver or something like that. Now, I know that there's a lot of controversy in stem cell research and the likes, but there are people that are lined up. I have a friend of mine in Canada right now. He's on a waiting list for a kidney, and wouldn't it be just great if we could go file print and take some of the cells from his spine or somewhere on his body and actually create something that his body will not reject and him not have to go to dialysis anymore.
Well, and the other part of that is it's a much more civil world when we can do that, because there is so much organ trafficking in this world, and it would just clean. The more we can get criminals out of the system, the better. And this would be helpful in so many ways if they could get something like this to work.
I agree 100%. And right now what's going on, and this is already real life happening as we speak, there's a little girl in New Jersey by the name of Anastasia. She was born with a debilitating disease where her arms were only grew just below the elbow, and she had like little buds as fingers. Basically, her arm was unusable. And even with the Obamacare and the insurance and this and that, they were quoted about $62,000 to create a prosthetic for her so that she could grasp a pencil and write and create things and hold up a glass of things that we take for granted every day. Well, for about $2,000 and a little bit of research, we were able to 3D print her a prosthetic hand, and it was done in her favorite New York Giant blue, because that's her father's favorite NFL football team. And if a finger on it breaks or a part on it breaks because it hits something or it gets dropped, it's 30 cents or 80 cents worth of filament to replace that part. We're talking about making things affordable. I plan on touching base with Wounded Warriors and talking to them about possibly getting into a program where we can 3D print prosthetics for some of our soldiers that gave their limbs and some their lives, many their lives, but their limbs and to fight for our country and a better world. And to be able to help people like that with 3D printing. I just can't see anybody saying that 3D printing is not going to change the world.
So what industries do you think will be impacted the most based on your experience?
Based on my experience, I would say I'm going to start with a tie for first place between medical and engineering.
But what's engineering? Because engineering is so, I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, I'm going to go into, because again, I'm echoing here what I mentioned earlier. I live here, I'm 10 miles from the main Boeing campus where they're building 787s and 747s. And, the engineers here are coming up with, pieces of these airplanes that are being prototyped in an environment that's adding to the, ozone, depletion. They're not very green. So the smoke is filling the skies with waste from injection molding, and now they're able to make these parts, these small parts, even up to even larger parts, to make our airplanes, our air travel safer.
So that's what you mean by engineering. You're talking the
prototyping.
The prototyping. Okay.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in aerospace. There's prototyping that's done in the medical field. They have to fit prosthetics to the arm, to the leg, to the knee. They're able to 3D print knees and hips. And instead of, again, when I say hand tooling or injection molding, Make Magazine just had a great ad, not an ad, but a story about a dog who was born without legs in the front, and they made him a cart. And a girl that was involved in 3D printing said, I have to help this dog. And she went out and created a couple of prosthetic legs, and now this dog runs with a smile on his face at full speed a couple of miles a day and outruns the owners. And and I know that's small potatoes when we're talking about all the other people in the world, not just dogs, but human beings who need help. They need prosthetics. They need.
And are these prosthetics, organs, because you can do circuits and things in it, are these prosthetics able to actually be moved by the person? Do you know what I mean? Like, can you control the fingers?
Absolutely.
So that $2,000 quote where you were giving her a prosthetic arm, is she able to control the fingers and everything with that?
Absolutely.
Oh,
now,
my
that was
gosh.
Not me. I'm not gonna take credit for that. This was a development company that created this prosthetic arm for her. I'm saying that I'm involved in a business that makes those things possible. It wasn't me that did that. It was actually.
You want to take credit for everything? That's how you got the guru.
I am not taking credit for that.
I did not
do it.
I'm giving you credit.
I'm an advocate, and I have been doing a lot of speaking. I'm in the business. I sell 3D printers, but okay. By no means am I an expert
that can
go out and create a prosthetic, but there are a lot of people that can.
I'm going to tell you. That's how I was going to say you got your guru.
No. My guru title came from my desire to educate and to let people know that it's here and it's now and it's not Star Trek. It's today. It's yesterday. Listen, there's a guy that has been 3D printing agricultural domes in Bremerton, Washington since the 90s. This is not a new technology. Now, that being said, this technology has changed so much in the last couple of years that the 3D printed agricultural domes that are in Bremerton, Washington are a far cry from the micron or 10 micron files that are being created today that have the ability to, we can replicate things the size of a pinhead now with a 3D printer.
What I think in people's brains, they think of 3D printing being this vanilla plastic looking simple structure. you know, versus all of these different small to large to different textures to different capabilities that the 3D printers can actually do now.
I would love your listeners to go out and buy a copy of Make Magazine, M-A-K-E, and take a look at some of the things that are being printed. Take a look at some of the articles about what's going on in medicine. Take a look at some of the things that are going on in prototyping. Take a look at some of the things that are going on in education. Making people aware of what 3D printing is all about. It's not about printing a tchotchke keychain for the Seattle Seahawks, although, go Hawks, I have to throw that in here.
You still could, Seattle, right?
But, yes, you can do that. But I've got kids and their parents that are coming in and they're purchasing 3D printers because they want their kids to have something that is cutting edge. Listen, we're at Microsoft in 1981 right now in 3D printing. This is where it begins, but it is already blossoming into a huge, huge business. 3D printing is changing the world, period, end of report. It is changing the way we're manufacturing. It is going to improve our trade deficit. We are no longer going to have to outsource our prototyping. Listen, I have a friend of mine who's in the music business. He creates a box similar to what you might think of as the Sonos or like a Bose type speaker enclosure. He just told me that he spent $14,000 on the prototyping for one of the cases for one of his new speaker systems by the name of his company. I'm going to do a little plug for him is Voco, MyVoco, MyVoco.com. He can now, I do his prototype printing now, and I can create different cases for him at such a fraction of the cost. I'm talking about under $100 rather than $15,000.
Well, you know, what's interesting is this could change. You know, we outsource so much to China, so much to other countries. This could bring so much stuff back. I mean, we're going to be bringing things back, and we're going to be changing how we don't even know how the world's going to change. But it definitely is going to change, and we're not going to be outsourcing so much. What we're going to be shipping, transportation is such a huge industry because we're moving parts all over the place. We won't be moving parts as much as we'll be moving material that goes into these printers.
So many people talk to me about how am I worried about taking jobs away from people who are in injection molding and you know, how many factory workers are going to lose their jobs because we're going to all have 3D printers in our homes and in our businesses. The thing is that we're not going to be taking away jobs. We're going to be adding jobs. We're going to be adding creativity. Creativity is something that we've kind of lost. We've taken it for granted. We go out and we can buy anything we want in any store. We don't create. We find. And I don't want to find anymore. I want to be able to create. I want to be able to take some of the young minds that are out there and have them create and come up with designs. I've been working closely with Made in Space. Made in Space, Mike Chen, I met him at the 3D Printer World Expo last August. And he created, or as part of the creation, he's one of the founders of Made in Space. Their 3D printer in September took off and is sitting now on the International Space Station.
And what do they print? What do they print with that? What are some
Well, you know, it's funny that examples. You asked that. They had about 20 different contracted jobs to print up their – the printer that's up there now is basically for experimental purposes. However, one of the gentlemen at Made in Space was listening to NASA TV, and he heard somebody mention – one of the astronauts mention – God, I wish if I only had a socket wrench right now, I'd be able to fix this right away. And immediately, somebody from Made in Space went and developed in SolidWorks a 3D printable socket wrench. They sent it to Houston, or actually to Johnson Space, not Johnson, Huntsville, Alabama. The Space Center in Huntsville, Alabama. They tested it. It worked. They approved it. They emailed it, the file, to the space station, and they printed it. And lo and behold, 2 days later, the astronaut had his socket wrench in his hand. That was the very first emailed part into space, and it was sent there and it worked. So what does that tell you about space exploration in the future? We have 3D printers that can print 3D printers. And if we have 3D printers that can print agricultural domes and have been doing it since the 90s, what can we do on a planet like Mars or the Moon when we want to decide to explore and build colonies? And we need to requisition a part rather than having to spend months developing the part and then sending it off to Huntsville, Alabama to have it approved and tested, no sharp edges. They could actually have that thing 3D printed on the spot and have that part there ready for them. We can build 3D printers large enough to build homes and to build structures and airtight chambers. We can actually start colonizing other planets.
So this basically sound, you could...
I don't want to make your show sound like something from outer limits, but this stuff is here. It's happening right
well,
now.
Well, so like, really let's say you're going to do a home. You could do a big chunk of a home. You could, the home could come in peace, just like the modular homes now, but you could print the modular homes.
And they're already printing homes. They're printing homes in Amsterdam. They're printing homes in China. And they're printing homes in Norway as we speak. Google it. You'll see it.
Are they incorporating solar panels directly into the roofs? Can a printer print solar?
Not yet.
Because how cool would that be? Because I want solar to be incorporated into the building product so that your house just comes as an electrical unit.
You know, we're not far away with some of the materials that are coming out today, such as those highly conductive materials. We aren't far away. We're getting very, very close. It's mind-boggling the things that can be printed, though, as we speak. I'm going to give you another real quick example of something that I printed for somebody, and I'm in the process of helping make him successful. A gentleman by the name of Maxim Gavronsky came up with a cup holder. And this cup holder, I don't know if your listening audience knows, I also have a radio show up here in the Seattle market, Tech Talk with Craig. And I interviewed Maxim with his Better Cup Holder, and you can go to bettercupholder.com. And he had what he calls the Maximatic in a drifting racing car at Monroe Speedway, Evergreen Motor Speedway in Monroe, Washington. And he was in a drifting car with his cup holder and a cup of coffee filled to the brim with no lid, and they were doing 75-mile-an-hour drifts around the racetrack with no spill. Well, what good does that do Maxim Gavronsky to be on the radio and talk about his spill-proof cup holder? Well, 3 weeks ago, he had an appointment in Dearborn, Michigan at Ford, and Ford is considering putting his cup holder into a line of their cars come up 2015, 2016. Don't know that the contract was signed yet, but look, we're talking about somebody that created something.
Well, it allows the average person to start creating and doing things like this versus just a trained, you know, an engineer who has to spend all this money getting a prototype made. The average person, a teenager, could do it.
Absolutely
right?
Correct.
Anybody smart Absolutely. Enough and creative enough to, or ambitious enough to want to do it, can do it.
Absolutely. And he came up with something, you know, he did have his first prototypes 3D printed, but they were 3D printed at a school that had an antiquated 3D printer, was probably 6 or 8 or 10 years old. The student discount that he got, I think it was $800 or $900 to have that print made. You can go out and buy a 3D printer for a couple of $1,000s now.
Yeah, things have gone down.
Print 100 of them for $60 to $80 to $1.20 a piece.
Okay, so what are some of the unexpected uses that you've seen in 3D printing? I assume you haven't. It's hard to surprise you anymore. But what are some of the really cool unexpected uses that you've seen?
Well, the one thing that I think is mind-boggling, I'm going to go back to the Made in Space story. They're able to print tools in space. This is another great story. about 3D printing and the same company, Made in Space. A gentleman came into Made in Space down in Silicon Valley a few years ago and was looking for a job, and Mike had told him that, I'm sorry, we're government funded, we're just not hiring right now. He said, well, do me a favor, let me sit down at one of your 3D workstations and show you what I can do, and maybe you'll change your mind. So the gentleman sat down at the workstation and fired up AutoCAD, and he created this little box with a cone on the top and exported it as an STL or a stereolithography file and said, here guys, print this for me, will ya? And they took it over to the 3D printer and they printed it, and they found this object that was a square box with a little cone-shaped object at the top. And they said, what's this? And they said, oh, well, that's the fix for the oxygen canister that exploded on Apollo 13. And they said, what? Well, guess what? They sent it to Alabama and they tested it and it worked. So if the 3D printer that printed that item was on Apollo 13, back when that oxygen canister exploded, we never would have heard the expression, Houston, we have a problem.
Because they would have just reprinted one.
They would have reprinted it and the problem would have been solved. So, you know, from space to, I'll tell you my favorite. I'm going to tell you my favorite. You wanted to know something fun that was printed on a 3D printer. Well, my 8-year-old son, Adam, for Halloween was Minecraft Steve. I printed him a diamond pickaxe, an iron chest plate, the Minecraft Steve helmet, and the armings, the leggings, and he had a 3D printed Halloween costume.
Oh, he was probably the coolest costume on the block.
It was pretty cool, I can tell you that. Uh-huh. Other things, 3D printing. I have at my store in Issaquah, Washington, we have an event called Wine Walk. And people come and they see the 3D printed art in my store. At the same time, we have a winery that comes in. Well, guess what? I'm printing wine glasses.
It's just so neat. Okay, well, my question for you is, well, I have lots of questions, but you know when the laser printers came out and we started printing on paper? And the big thing back then was we are going to end up being a printerless or a paperless society. And originally, the amount of paper we use exploded. People were printing everywhere. It's probably because their paradigm hasn't changed and they needed everything in paper still, but then they had the ability to print a ton. So the amount of paper we used actually exploded. Now today, we are reducing a ton of paper because people don't need to print like they used to. So it just took some time to get to that point. Now, with these 3D printing abilities, do you think we'll have a lot more waste because people will just be printing crap?
Well, you know, is there going to be more waste? I think the crap's going to be made anyway. Here's one of the things that's kind of cool about 3D printing. I was a model maker. I made, you know, the little Marvel model cars back in the day. And I remember when I had to take the parts out of the framing for those model cars, there was all of this plastic that went into the garbage can. It was the stuff that held all that plastic together. So kind of the injection molding, it's almost like a subtractive manufacturing. They fill up a mold, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that holds it all together that goes into the garbage. When you're 3D printing an object, it only prints what you need. And so there's actually less waste when it comes to that. Are people going to be printing tchotchkes and things like that? Of course.
Yeah, it's going to go crazy. But don't you think that because anything that's meltable can be printable, that there will be printers that just melts all the crap that we don't want anymore, and then that's used to print other things?
You bring up a great point. A very good friend of mine by the name of David Beshin, he owns a company called Green Disc. Green Disc, they are manufacturers of rewritable CDs and DVDs. Those CDs and DVDs are made out of polycarbonate. And we are in the process of taking his old CDs and DVDs and melting them down and extracting the metal from them and creating 3D printed filaments. So we are not only keeping those old CDs and DVDs out of the landfills, but we're reusing those to create filaments that are without a doubt usable to create new objects. We also have all of those filaments, and there are some people that have developed machines that we can actually take our waste and our mistakes and the things that we didn't want to 3D print and melt that down and extrude it as new filament, so that we can actually reuse some of those tchotchkes and junk and things that we don't need and create the things that we want to create. So the recycling aspect of 3D printing is amazing.
Well, so that'll happen. What does our country need to do to really be on the forefront of this technology? Are we going that direction, or are we kind of the followers behind China and Norway and these other countries?
We are actually a little bit behind. However, I am working closely with Open3DC or the Open3D community. I'm actually the vice president, CIO of the company. We are, our goal is education. One of our main goals is to get a 3D printer into every school. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, had a program a while back to get a computer into every library. Well, we want to see if we can contact them and, or other, organizations that can help us get these schools on board. Let's get 3D printers into the schools. Let's get some 3D design programs into the schools. Let's get the kids out there educated and get them creative. Get them off the street and get them into the classroom doing something that they'll enjoy. Let's get the artists out there showing us what we can do on a 3D printer.
So we need to create the culture, but you also need to get the venture capitalists and the entrepreneurs on this. They got to get tasked on this, and the money needs to start flowing into this industry, and we need to start making it happen. Otherwise,
Otherwise
we'll just be buying from others and always on the trying to play catch up.
I would love to be able to tell you what I'm doing to try to help get education, give it a push. I hope I'm not being self-serving here by giving out my website, coho3d.com. I am selling packages of 3D printers. They're from Leapfrog, whose Leapfrog 3D printers, their goal is to educate before selling. And what we have is a package. It's a dual extruder 3D printer, and I was talking about dual extruder before, where you can print in two different colors or two different materials at the same time. We sell a printer along with 6 kilos of filament, which is enough filament to print a whole bunch of tchotchkes. We are giving them a toolkit.
Is tchotchke tchotchke a word for crap?
Yes.
Okay. That's your print a whole bunch of crap word. Okay.
Okay, or they can print actual designs that they have created that could better the world, whether it's in engineering or an invention or it's limitless. But along with that package, that starter package, we're including lifetime live video technical support and training.
Oh, that would be good.
And that is what is important, and that's what I'm selling. I'm selling the training. If you look at the bottom of my website, I have a disclaimer. I am not just going to drop your 3D printer off in a crate on your front door and hope that you can go file print. I want to make sure that that printer is properly calibrated. I'm going to walk you through every single step of getting that printer up and running so that you can start becoming a maker, so that you can start printing, so that we can get you on 3D hubs and you can start doing prototyping for people who need those prototypes.
Well, there. I would like to see new businesses starting to be formed around the creations that they come up with, and the money starting to flow in this direction so people can change industries and get more jobs coming to this country. Our cost of manufacturing is so high that's why we lose jobs. But our cost of manufacturing with this is going to be significantly lower. So if we can start getting money flowing in this direction, we can create whole industries that are based here and not out of the country. This could be huge.
The name of your show is Business Game Changers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
You are talking to somebody who is involved in one of the biggest business game changers there is on the planet today.
Well, and that needs to be, you're talking about educating the kids in school, which is important. And that's what they did, during the college. I remember when Steve Jobs was trying to get every computers into all, that was their whole focus, get them into the computer labs around campuses. And, that worked, that got the younger people to just be computer users. It's like their second, like using the telephone. It's very second nature for them. And I suppose that's what we need to do, so that people have a different paradigm when they're using 3D printers and they just see it as their paradigm. But that's one aspect of it. There also needs to be money for the entrepreneurs and the inventors and the engineers to develop things that can change industries, and that you got to change culture, and the money needs to start flowing in this direction. We have a lot of good things in this country that we could really make a difference. I mean, we have, our oil industry is changing. The 3D printing can make a huge difference. Medicine can make a huge difference. And we got to get unstuck in these old paradigms so that we can embrace a different way. I mean, because our economy is not doing that good. And, I think we need to rethink how we do our money supply as well. But, you look at some of these technologies and we can really make a difference. We're not going to be so dependent on China and some of these other countries. We can really, just like we're trying to pull away from the Middle East from an oil standpoint, which we are successfully doing. It's painful and people are fighting back. But we can do the same thing in so many different manufacturing sectors as well. And at the same time, get rid of, with medicine, we can get rid of some of all that trafficking that's going on and things. There's always something unforeseen that props up. But geez, if we can start getting into these future things and getting our culture moving forward, it can really help us as a country.
I agree 100%. I think 3D printing is where it's at right now as far as a game changer in manufacturing. Our trade deficit will definitely improve. We will not have to outsource as much as we've had to other countries. I don't believe that it's going to be taking any jobs away. In fact, I think it's going to be creating jobs in both education as well as CAD design, 3D design. And, there are going to need to be operators for those 3D printers. A 3D printer isn't, pull it out of the box, plug it in, and go file print. There's training that needs to take place, and there's operators that will need to operate those 3D printers.
Yeah, the designers will always be there. There's material that's going to go in. There's just all sorts of stuff. Now, can you print with soft material as well as hard material? Like, could you print clothing?
There is clothing being printed as we speak. It doesn't look that comfortable yet, but yes, clothing...
It's like what you would see in some of the, maybe it really is Star Trek clothing.
It is Star Trek clothing. And I'll post some pictures of some of the 3D printed clothing on some of my web assets out there. And I would love for any of your audience to reach out to me anytime.
Yeah, how can
to
they get
any of my, social media, as well as to tune into my radio show. And we'll get some more information out.
Well, how can they reach you on your radio show, and how can they reach you in general?
I broadcast at noon Pacific time every Saturday on AM 1150 KKNW in Seattle, as well as FM 98.9 HD3, also in Seattle, KLCK. We stream live at 1150 KKNW.com. /listen, or you can just go to 1150kknw.com. All of my archived radio shows can be listened to at hightechradio.net. That's HIGHTECH radio.net. You can check out my line of 3D printers and other 3D printing items. I even have a 3D printed tablet that's going up, or not 3D printed, 3D visual tablet that's going up on my website, coho3d.com. That's C-O-H-O, like the fish, coho3d.com. I have a complete web store, a learning center. It's actually courtesy of Wikipedia right now, but we're working on fixing that up. All the Max filaments are available there. I run periodic specials on that, coho3d.com. And also, please visit open3dc.org. That's open3dc.org. And you can check out our events there. We have our monthly educational events with dynamic guests from all over the world to talk about 3D printing and additive manufacturing. And they'll be able to, it will really open up your eyes. All of those resources will give you plenty of information on 3D printing.
Okay, so I'm going to put all this on my radio show, my radio page, your contact information. So if listeners want to get hold of you, they can get you there. And yes, we can go from there.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put up some other links about education.
Okay, well, thank you, Craig, so much for joining us today. I really appreciate having you on. I think you've really educated everybody here. This is awesome.
Sarah, it is truly my pleasure. I hope that we can get together again. I'd love to have you on my radio show so we can talk about some of the other business game changers out there. And you're welcome anytime. Give me a call, and let's do this again.
Oh, I'd love that. You're on for that. Okay, have a great day. Well, you can see that 3D printing really has the opportunity to revolutionize the way business is done. If we look at it in a positive manner, it really has the ability to create lots of new jobs and different types of jobs, but we have to be creative and we have to look at it differently. And we also have to embrace these new technologies as a country. We're behind right now, and in order to get caught up, we need to get everybody educated on how to change our paradigm of thinking in with some of these new technologies. So look for that as you go forward in your new career adventures. And for now, have a great day.